let's go to Exodus 3. How about that? Exodus 3, verse 11. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and what shall they say to me? What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Verse number 12, he tells Moses, he said, The token that you'll know, again, this is the token itself doesn't hold value, but it stands in the place of that which does have value. I liken that again when you used to go to the arcade. Again, those are dated and outdated, but you would buy tokens. They held the place of money, but they weren't actually valuable themselves. But when you put in that machine, it would represent money, although that token itself, usually made of brass or cheaper metals, was absolutely had no value in itself. He said, this will be a token to you. When you lead them out, you'll know that I sent you and that I called you to bring them out because upon this mount, you shall serve me. The Lord said, this will be your token, Moses. This will be what you can look at and know. This is, I am of the word of God, sent me. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 22, I just want to look quickly at the token. We won't be there long. But I want you to understand this token, the importance of the things that God gives us, that they themselves may not hold a value, but they represent great value. A wedding band is a token, is it not?
Yep.
Mine in particular, it doesn't hold great value, but I sure would hate to lose it. My wife even holds less, never mind. I sure would hate to lose my wedding band. You can say, is it worth that much? I'd probably go get this appraised and then probably ask me to leave. But, well, honey, thank you for it. It's a blessing. But it represents something that I can't put a price on.
That's right.
That's why it's a token of our love one for another.
Right.
I don't care what churches preach. I grew up in a church that preached against wedding bands. Well, they just didn't believe in a token, that's all. They said it was jewelry. That's not jewelry. I mean, I'm straight. We doing okay? I don't wear jewelry. I said, I'm straight. I don't wear jewelry. So that's not jewelry. That's a token. Every Jezebel that looks at me, that I don't know why they would, but if they would, and thinks, hey, that's the man for me, she's going to have to go through that token. My wife wears that ring, and it's a token. The love that I have for her, I gave her that ring as a token of my love. Is it valuable as my love? No, but it represents my love. Here in Deuteronomy chapter number 22, I'll start at verse number 15.
Why did I spend so much money?
He said then, actually start at verse number 14. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate. The damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hateth her. And lo, he hath given occasion of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid. And yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city, and the elders of the city shall take that man and chastise him. And they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver, and give them unto the father of the damsel, because he hath brought an evil name upon a virgin of Israel, and she shall be his wife. He may not put her away all his days, but if this thing be true, and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel, then shall they bring out the damsel at the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones, that she die. The because she hath wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. The tokens, no value to them. I would venture to say this, I don't mean this with any humor. When it comes time for that couple to leave this earth and their children decide that they don't want anything and they go to sell it at an auction, I really doubt that that piece of cloth would bring much of a price at auction. But it means a whole lot to that couple. They were the tokens of her virginity. She said, before God and man, I am pure. No man has defiled me. And these are the tokens of my virginity. Now, if she played the harlot and that man hated her, and she lied and said, I am a virgin, found out she was not a virgin, there was no token for her virginity, they would stone her with stones as she died. Oh, are some of you glad they don't stone people for rotten folly in your life? It was a token. It itself had no value, but it represented something of a great price. It was the purity, the virginity of that girl. It's a token. Now, if they would keep that as a token, lest there be an accusation, she could pull that old dirty cloth out and say, no, right here's the token of my virginity. That man broke the seal of purity. She's still pure. She's not a virgin anymore. You say, what's the importance of that? Well, because when a virgin conceives, there was no token of virginity. We'll get to that later with the Lord's help. Numbers chapter number 17, verse number 10. Here we see the token against the rebels. Again, this is something that has little value. But in God's eyes, it had great value. In fact, it had such a great value that the Lord commanded them to bring that rod. And this is what he said in chapter 17, verse 10 of Numbers. Bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token against the rebels, and thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. Now listen, did that rod have value in itself? Aaron's rod was there, is there a rod somewhere that holds value? No. However, it held a great price for those who murmured against God. Because when God saw the token of Aaron's rod that budded, and when it's there before the testimony, and God would see that token, it was a great price on that rod that budded. Why? Because God saw that token that he wouldn't kill them because they murmured against him. I think I hold that rod in pretty high esteem as a token. You see, in itself, it doesn't have value, but it represents that has absolute value. Let me just give you a couple more. Judas, of course, the token of that he had is that he would kiss Jesus Christ. That was the token that Judas was going to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. It was so they would know, again, no value, but it represented something of a great value. I'm going to stop there. We're going to go back to the book of Genesis, and I just want to look at that token just briefly. We talked a little bit about it last night, but Genesis chapter number 15. And I'm going to go through quite a few verses here with you. I'm going to try to make a point. Again, I'm not trying to be vague or disconnected, but I do want to make the point here. And then, Lord willing, Sunday, I hope we're all here Sunday, or most of us will be here Sunday, and try to kind of summarize a little bit what we're going to deal with tonight, what we dealt with last night, before we move on from there. Here in Genesis chapter 15, verse number 18, the Bible says in verse number 18, the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. God said to Abraham, this is a covenant between me and you. This is a promise that not only is just a promise, but this promise has a hope. This promise is forever. This is a covenant I'm making with you, Abraham. This land will be your land. Chapter 17 of Genesis and verse number 1. When Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. The Bible says, Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, that thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make thee nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. The Lord said, I'm going to give you not only a covenant, Abraham, I'm going to give you an everlasting covenant. I want you to see the Lord also gave Abraham an everlasting homeland prepared for him. In verse number 8, he said, I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee and their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised. Now, God makes his covenant with Abraham. Abraham covenants with God. It's an everlasting covenant. It's a covenant with hope. It's a covenant with a homeland. It's a covenant with great promises. But then he said this in verse 11. Ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. People say, well, that's kind of an unusual thing. What an odd thing. God would require that. And by the way, many strangers and many people doubted that over the generations of Abraham. What an unusual and a strange thing that I would have to circumcise the flesh of the foreskin. But here's what the Lord said. And it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house, or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant, then the Lord says this, shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. God put in the flesh his covenant that Abraham and his seed would know forever. God is the I Am of the books of the Bible. I am God. When you see that baby at 8 years old and you take him down and circumcise him, it's so that he will know that I am God. But also it's so when God sees that child, I want to say this, I believe it's right in wrath, he can remember mercy. Amen. Why? Because of a covenant that he made with Abraham. Yeah. Good. Why didn't God kill the children of Israel? When they rebelled, when they murmured, when they fought him, when they fornicated, when they chased after idols, I'll tell you why. Because God made an everlasting covenant with Abraham, and the token of that covenant was that foreskin. God would see that token and be reminded again of the promise he made unto Abraham that an everlasting covenant was made in your flesh. Now, this is what the Bible says in verse number 14. And the uncircumcised man, the child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. Refusal breaks the covenant that God established with Abraham. Refusal to take the circumcision is also refusal of God. Now, this is the Abraham. This is Abraham's covenant. Religion would call it the Abrahamic covenant. God's promise to Abraham with a future, with a homeland, with exceeding precious promises, the promise he made to Abraham. But Abraham had to take that token of his flesh as a reminder of what God had done for him. The Jews today, some will, most will still take the circumcision, yet without faith. I don't want to get into that tonight. I'm making it into a sum tonight. But this circumcision is a circumcision of faith.
Right.
Yes, the token is made in the flesh. But it's a matter of the heart. It's not just a tradition. Right. It's not just that Abraham says, Isaac, listen, son, I'm going to circumcise you because God told me to, because we just said something we've always done. No. It's by faith. He's the heir of the covenant. Isaac is the heir of the covenant. Therefore, he takes that circumcision in his flesh because the promise God made to his daddy, and then God makes a promise to Isaac, God makes a promise to Jacob, God covenants with them, and therefore they take that covenant based on the promises of God, not on family tradition. Jew today, for the most part, takes it solely on tradition. Yes. This is what we do.
Yes.
Yet without faith. Mm. I want you to look, if you would, Exodus chapter number 4. And I've always tried to get a little bit more light on this, because to be honest with you, it's one of those things that just doesn't fully make sense to me, but I understand it. I guess I'm looking for something deeper that may not be there. If I go too deep, then I'll come up dry. Verse number 24 of Exodus 4. And it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Anyway, somebody explain that to me. Brother Bernie, go ahead, please.
All right.
I meant Brother Zach. Sorry, Brother. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. Why, God demanded obedience from Moses. Many of the children of Israel in Egypt land were not circumcised. Why, they forgot the covenant of God. Again, when they had to go into the promised land, they had to be reminded of that covenant with God that God made to Abraham and his seed. As Zipporah said, she cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. Can I say, when God saw the blood of that baby that was circumcised, he was well pleased.
Amen.
Why? Because the covenant he made with Abraham, the covenant he made years ago with Abraham, is now being applied to the seed of Moses. So poor Zipporah doesn't understand that. Thou art a bloody. She cast it at his feet. She took a sharp stone, cut that foreskin, cast it down. Thou art a bloody husband to me. But the Lord was well pleased.
Sir.
Wives' obedience is always still better than sacrifice and to hearken to the fat of rams. Mm. They didn't have to understand why. Mm. All they had to do was be obedient. They had to obey God. God ordered them to take that foreskin off that child. Yes, it was a bloody procedure. Yes, there was bloodletting. Yes, there were things that I'm sure every mama cringed when she saw that little baby screaming and crying. But God commanded it of the seed of Abraham. Why? It's a token. I'll tell you the danger of it is that little boy, mama feels sorry and says, well, I'm not circumcising him. Why does he have to suffer? Why does he have to shed blood? Why does he have to be circumcised? God said he'd cut him off from his people. He would have no inheritance with God. So it was a token that God could look and see and know that not only was he being followed in obedience, not only was a mom or a dad following him, but I believe with God, God wants faith. Not just the fear of being cut off, not just the fear of losing a physical inheritance, not just the fear that mom and dad won't give me the farm when they die. No, that God himself would cut them off, moved by fear, because they believed God. We see through the scriptures, circumcision continued with Israel, yet without faith. They made the circumcision the token when the circumcision was to be by faith. The token was the thing that God had given that he might see and be well pleased with what took place. Yet Israel lost track of the token. Exodus chapter 2. Verse 24, we go back just a little bit. Here, the children of Israel are in Egypt land. And this is what the Bible said. It says in verse number 24 of Exodus 2, God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Why? God remembered the covenant he made with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God does not forget his covenants. You and I can forget. But God is a God of faithfulness. God is a God of honesty. God is a God that is holy. God is also just. God made that covenant with Abraham. He said it would be an everlasting covenant. That means there's no end to this covenant he made with Abraham. Exodus 6. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go. With a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for inheritance. Why? I am the Lord. The Lord said, I will do this not just because they were circumcised, but because they were circumcised, they obeyed me, the covenant that I made with them was given as a token, and the token stands before me for eternity. He said, I will give you this land, not on your merit, not on your faith, but on the promise I made to Abraham, I will give you this land. Now, we would say, well, that's my merit. I earned that. I obey God, therefore God has to do this for me. Can I say to you, friend, and I don't want to get too much out of this, they were receiving the promise of Abraham because God promised Abraham and God wasn't going to change his promise.
Right.
They were groaning in bondage. God said, I'll bring them out. Why? Because they groaned? I'll bring them out because they complain? No. circumcised. They have a token. No. He said, I'll bring you out because the promise I made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. That's why I'll bring you out. Why? Because they moved with faith. They believed God. The Bible said this of Abraham, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. The children of Israel were recipients of the covenant God made with Abraham. And God said, I'll bring you out. I'll put you in the land I promised. I'll put you in a place where you'll have room for your cattle. You'll have crops. You'll have fertile soil. Everything you need will be in the land of Israel, in the land of Canaan rather, and I'll give this to you because of a covenant I made with Abraham long ago.
Right.
And children of Israel said, okay, sounds good to me. I don't want to be in bondage. I'll go along with this. Be circumcised. Okay, sure, no problem. I don't have a problem. You'll be cut off from your people. Okay, I'll be circumcised. It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
People say, you know, if I lived back then, I think I probably would have followed God more. No, you wouldn't. If you would have followed the children of Israel, just like all the other ones did. You would have murmured in the wilderness. You would have complained. That's a right. Whale vomited out your That's nostrils. Right. You would have been committing fornication, idolatry. Yes. Unless you had faith to believe God.
Yes, amen.
Bear with me. I'm not going to be crude, but let me do it this way. Here's my token. Here's my token. Look, Lord, here's my token I made with you. Hey, everybody, here's my token. God loves me because of this token I have.
That's a good picture.
No. They were in through Abraham. Abraham was in by faith. They could have been. They had trouble believing God.
Yeah.
Moses knew their heart. He said, Lord, how can I prove to them? How can I show them? That you called me to lead them out of bondage. How can you prove this to them? Well, I'll tell you how, Moses. You tell them I have sent you. That'll be enough. Bear with me. Can you see Moses going back down? The meek old Moses. By the way, he was meek except one time, and it cost him a lot.
Right.
He was the meekest of all men upon the face of the earth.
Sir.
Can you imagine Moses going down and saying, hey, fellas, the Lord told me to tell you I'm leading you out of here. Bear with me on this. Who in the world are you? I'm just Moses, but I am Sammy. You say, Moses, what? Why are you the one? I don't know, but here's my bloody son. He's bearing token before God, but I am Sammy. Moses, are you really able to even take us out of here? I am Sammy. So Moses leads them out. They get out there not too far in the wilderness. And they start looking back to Egypt land. They remember the leeks and the cucumbers and the garlic. And they said, oh, if we just had Egypt land again. Oh, if we just had the fineries of Egypt. We'd go back into bondage. And Moses said, I have brought you out of bondage. Go get a sharp stone. You want the inheritance of God? You'll bear a token. Those that refused were cut off forever. You know why? It's an everlasting covenant God made with Abraham. But whether you accept the covenant or reject the covenant, it's still everlasting. You accept the covenant God made unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. It's an everlasting covenant. But those that refused, those who said, this is bloody, this is silly, there's no value to this. What is a piece of foreskin to me? It cost them everything. Hebrews. The Bible simply says this of Abraham. Verse number 8, chapter 11. By faith. Again, faith is the substance of things hoped for. There's something to it, but the evidence of things not seen. I don't see it, but there's evidence. I don't see anything, but there's proof. That's what faith is. I believe God. I don't have to see Him. I believe Him. By faith. Who sent you, Abraham? Abraham, who sent you off into this land? I am. Abraham, who moves you? I am. Abraham, who sent you into a distant land? I am sent me. Why? Because I believed you. He said every male of 8 years old or 8 days old will be circumcised. You and Abraham said, okay, Lord, we'll circumcise them. Why? Because you told me to. You're God and you're holy and you're just. And Lord, I believe that you told me to do it. I'm going to do it by faith. Abraham didn't move for the inheritance. He moved because God told him to move.
Good.
The inheritance was just the reward. Because he's a good God. If God saved me just to save me out of my sin and from the misery and the sin sickness that I lived in, I'd rejoice always just that God saved me out of my sin.
Yeah. Amen.
But there's so much more. Yeah. He's made an everlasting covenant. He's made an everlasting promise. And can I say this? He's promised a place where everlasting with Him will dwell. That's His promise. You say, well, if I was Abraham and He promised me a whole country, I'd move too. He didn't promise him a whole country until after Abraham agreed to go. Better read that again. Abraham, I'm going to move you. You're become the father of many nations. Okay, Lord. I'll give you a land flowing with milk and honey. That's the reward. That's the place I put you, Abraham. When he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. Notice that, after receive for an inheritance. He had to go before the inheritance would come. By faith. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelt in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. You know why? Because God was going to give him great wealth on this earth, and God was going to make a mighty nation, and God was going to give him cattle, and God was going to make Abraham one of the greatest men upon the face of the earth. But verse 10, it says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was looking for a city. Old James Knupp has ruined that for all of us, hasn't he?
Yes, he has.
But Abraham was looking for a city not made with hands. Bob said this, to have foundations, his builder and maker is God. Abraham moved by faith, but it wasn't just the promise of a land, it was a promise of a city. It was a promise of eternity. It was an eternal covenant. Eternal covenant whose token was in Abraham's flesh, which he bore every day to remind him that I am sent me. It said this, through faith also Sarah herself received strength. By the way, everybody that badmouths these, and it really is the chauvinistic pigs that badmouth Sarah. You can say amen if you badmouth her, it's okay. The Bible said by Sarah, by faith. It's a pretty good reputation she had. The Bible said of her that her ornaments of grace were a meek and a quiet spirit. Pretty good reputation. She's in the hall of faith. I'd be real careful bad talking Sarah because she laughed when the angel said that she conceived at the age she was. People sit and say, well, she didn't have any faith. She didn't believe God. I've heard all kinds of stuff. But every time I go to Hebrews, the Bible said this through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. You know what that tells me? She laughed, but she believed God. God dealt with Sarah. God showed Sarah. Sarah believed God.
Sure, buddy.
Amen. How about that? You know why? Because the great I Am, the Word of God, said, Sarah, you'll bear this seed for Abraham. It was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one in him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Why? It's faith. I haven't received all the promises, but I'm looking for them. I'm seeing them in the distance, friend. I believe, and I believe in the very fiber of my soul, what God has promised, He will do.
Yes.
It's not a fairy tale. It's not a joke. It's a promise of God. They were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But they're not mindful of that country because they desire a better country. There's something off in the future.
Right.
Remember them old timers, brother. Get up there in the meetings. I'm talking about when meetings were good. And them old timers, they start talking about heaven and start talking about reunions and start talking about the glory of God around the throne. Those old timers, they get to weep and get to shout and get to rejoice. And why? Because they had treasure laid up in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt. And they didn't have treasure on this earth, but they had treasure over yonder on the promise of God that they would see a city not made with hands.
Amen.
Remember old Miss Hope. Preacher told me one time, he said, when she runs by you now, don't high five or whatever you do, she'll rip your arm off. Still use the washboard. And by the way, if you ever shake hands with a woman still use a washboard, you'll know, don't give her a high five. She's stronger than most men. Miss Hope lost a daughter up in the Smoky Mountains hiking. She ran ahead, I believe she was 13, 14 years old. She ran ahead, turned the corner, they never saw her again. Miss Hope would testify of her had gotten saved. I believe it was just a few weeks prior that her daughter had gone to the altar on a Sunday, professed Jesus Christ as her Lord and her Savior. And Miss Hope said her life changed, and then like that she was gone. They searched the mountains for weeks, never found hide nor hair. They have no idea what happened to that little girl. But they start preaching on heaven, the glory of heaven. And I'd watch old Miss Hope start to rock, brother. I'd say, well, here go all the critics. We're doing all right?
Oh, well.
Here come all the critics. I hear a little voice start to quiver. Ooh. She'd be weeping. Tears running down her face. The preacher would start talking about that glad reunion day. Old Miss Hope would get to rejoice and shout and clap in her hands. The preacher told me one time, he says, up on a roof across the valley from her house. He said his church members were always critical, talking about, oh, she just puts on a show. It's all according to the flesh. This is the lady that got up every Sunday morning at 4 o'clock and made biscuits, sausage biscuits for every child they brought on the buses. She made sausage biscuits every single Sunday for them. It's all fake. It's all work of the flesh, you know.
It's great.
He said they were there working on the roof of this house across the valley there in the hollow in West Virginia. And he said all of a sudden across that valley, you heard, woo! He said, looked across there and he said, he realized where he was. He said, well, that's Miss Hope's house over there. He said, he heard, woo, over across. He said, he's going to look and he said, there's nobody around. Didn't see anybody. He said, he heard that voice going up the backside of the mountain, up the top of that ridge.
Yeah.
He said, shout and rejoice and praise in God. You can be critical if you want to. I don't know that woman's heart, but I do know this. Every time they tell her about that promise of the city not made with hands, she'd get real excited about it because she was looking for a city, brother. She was ready to go. You know why people don't get excited today? They're not ready to go.
Right.
Boy, they're so bound up to the things of this world, tied down to the things of this world, worried about money, worried about friendships, worried about things that are temporal, and they're not looking for a city. They're not looking yonder. They're trying to, by faith, to believe God, that God's going to take us out of this mess and give us an eternal home.
Right.
They just don't believe it today.
Right.
Lives were so bound up with things of this world. They died in faith. They knew they were strangers and pilgrims. This world is not my home. I'm not being cliche. That's what the songwriter wrote. I'm just a passing through.
Right.
Let me ask you this. Could you sing with a pure heart, "My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue"? Mm-hmm. Or have you laid up treasures on this side of eternity? I knew men and women who died lamenting the treasures they lit up for their children, who smoked it up in dope and crack, squandered it, and wasted it. And they spent a lifetime trying to obtain an inheritance to leave their children. But they didn't lay up being rich towards God. They didn't lay up treasure in heaven. The Lord's blessed my wife and I. We have a lot to look forward to. You see, we don't just have family, grandparents, her father, other family laid up, church members, people we loved. But we got two little babies we never met. There's not a day that goes by that I don't think about. I want to run this race well, buddy.
Sure.
My treasure's not here.
That's right. Yeah.
You ready? Are you ready to go? You ready for the Lord to come? If your treasure's still bound up in the temporal things of this earth. I used to hear preachers say, "You never see an armored car following a hearse," but I did. You put them in these mausoleums with their jewels and their gems, their gold, their silver. The things that meant the most to them. They unearthed those pyramids. I hope that fly dies. Die, fly! Cursed thing. Spit puke to my cup problem. Those old pharaohs get buried in the pyramids. They put 40 virgins in there with them. How do they know? Since they were just little girls, little skeletons laying in there. They give a supply of food. They lay him on a bier that could float. They believe that from the hieroglyphics, things they've read, that he would float down the Eternal River with these virgins. They would satisfy him for all of eternity. And when they would die, when they would starve to death, in the next life, they'd be raised with him and they'd live in this ethereal bliss. And they'd bury all his treasure with him. They'd bury these living virgins with him. And they'd bury him with food and water. And it was too late, he was already in. Then one by one, there's little girls that worship that failure, they die and go to hell.
Yeah.
And my friend, I've watched people, they stood over the coffin and looked in that coffin. And you know everybody, oh, they look so good. No, they never look good. They're gray, they're dead, it's awful. They never look good. Please stop saying that. Don't comfort me when they look good. It's really bad when they say they never look better. Oh, they look so good. They did such a good job. They're paid to do a good job. I would get a little mortician. The mortician sews that little smile. You know, they take that thread, you know, that mouth that always looked like this. All of a sudden, for the first time they turned, they go, "Oh, they look so peaceful." They're dead. The look on their face has nothing to do with their soul.
Right.
Oh, he was such a good man. He drank, he doped, cheated on his wife. All he did was ever try to get rich. He squandered that on foolishness and stupidity. He's laying there in the coffin. Everybody's saying, oh, what a good man. What a good guy he was. And that family knows they're lying through their teeth to say it. I stood over the coffin with a 29-year-old man. Within 2 weeks, probably about 2 weeks prior, maybe a week and a half, he stood there and told Brother Ron Shank and I, he said, I beat cancer. I beat PTSD. He said, I can beat anything. That's what he said. I don't believe in God. And he said, I don't need God. 2 weeks later, I looked down the coffin. There he lay. You know what he had on? He had a rock and roll t-shirt, his NASCAR hat. Because those are the things he loved. His little 15-year-old daughter comes up to me on the bus the next day. He said, Brother Tim, my dad is in a better place. But as a preacher, you're in that position. Do I lie? Do I tell the truth? Do I just keep my mouth shut? Do I tell her, no, honey, he's not in a better place? We've gotten so sissified and so scared to tell the truth.
Yeah.
He's not in a better place. He's in hell. And there's that bleeding heart, and this is some of you probably, but that bleeding heart, well, maybe in the last 10 seconds of their life, you know, let's just make up a number. You know, maybe they repented and found Christ. No, they died like they lived.
That's right.
A sinner. Oh, maybe they found a deathbed confession to be one of the first in eternity. Since the cross. What's your treasure? If they had been mindful of the country whence they came, they would have never been looking for a city. God hath prepared for them a city. His builder and maker is God. Where's your treasure? Mom or dad often will covenant in marriage for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, till death do us part. But what they really mean is this: for better, for richer, or else I'll depart.
Yeah.
That's what they really mean.
That's right.
You know why? Because they don't believe in that covenant.
Sir, buddy.
They don't believe in that covenant. Can I say this? If you believe in that covenant, you can believe in this covenant.
Right.
Because you know the God with all things well. I won't say a lot about this, but I'm going to say a little bit. People try to spoil their children, their grandchildren. You're taking notes, brother. And we like to spoil our nieces and nephews, we do. Because we don't have to live with them. I don't care if we're spoiled. Say amen, Sister Stephanie. It's all right. She can send them home. She doesn't care if she's spoiled. Amen. Doesn't matter one little bit. But mom and dad spend all that time trying to make your children happy. And you know the only thing that's ever going to make them happy? It's that covenant.
That's right.
That's right.
My little niece was about 1.5 years old. My brother-in-law bought her a puppy for himself. It's like buying your wife golf clubs or a bowling ball for Christmas, you know. He bought my niece a puppy. My little niece is 1.5 years old. She's got a Barbie doll set. She's got Playhouse. She was the only girl at the time. And the whole her bedroom's piled to the ceiling with toys. And I mean, everything you could possibly imagine. And I sat there for 2 days. And I was the greatest uncle of all time. You know what I gave my niece as a gift? A Diet Coke bottle. And for a day and a half, I watched my niece play nonstop with a Diet Coke bottle. And she'd cry because she couldn't find her Diet Coke bottle. And she finally ripped the label off and she cried because the Diet Coke bottle didn't have a label on it. And I went to go to the airport and get in the van. She comes toddling out of the house carrying a Diet Coke bottle with her. You know they need to be happy? They need a mom and dad to love them to Jesus.
Wow. That's right.
They need a mom and dad to put them foremost in their heart towards Christ. You know how they do that? They have a mom and dad who's saved.
Yep.
Then mom and dad can say, hey, look, honey. Look, buddy. We may be poor here, but I promise you this, one of these days, we're going to be rich.
Yes, sir.
But it's not going to be on this side of eternity.
Amen.
Think on this in these days, please. Abraham was circumcised as a token in his flesh. Think of that. Brother Vernon? No.
I was thinking about this question. I was thinking about what are you looking for? There's nothing wrong with having a nice house, a nice car, nice whatever it is that you want. There's nothing wrong with having the job that you want. You ought to work. As a man, you ought to have a job and you ought to work. But they ain't going to do a whole lot for you when that hearse rolls away. I talked to one of my lifelong friends today on the way to church. Steve, I called Brother Don Crider, just heavy on my heart, just on my mind constantly this week. And I called him and he was as low, and you know as well as I do, Brother Don ain't no low man. But he was as low as I've ever heard him. This is what he said to me, church, and just fitting tonight. It's what he said to me. He said, I said to him, Brother Don, I said, I don't believe you'll ever sing that song about my home quite the same. He sings that many homes this world holds dear. But I'm just a stranger here, passing through. And he said his home is laid up, you know, talking about how his home. I said, brother, you just won't, I don't believe you'll ever see it, sing that song the same. This is what he said to me, Brother McVeigh. He said, Brother David, he said, if the ambulance would come rolling up to my porch tonight and take me out of here, he said, I'd gladly walk out of this house and get in it. He said, I'd walk out. He said, I wouldn't make them do nothing, force me. He said, son, I'd walk out of here so fast and get in. He said, I know people need me, and I need people. He said, son, I'm ready to go home.
That's right.
I'm just ready to go home.
Hey.
And, boy, it's good. Amen. It's good to have that. Boy, have that inside. Just ready to go home. What you looking for, huh? What you looking for? I could give it a brand new Cadillac tonight. It might go, yeah, that's nice, boy, I appreciate it. I'm gonna tell you something. That ain't gonna change his mind about wanting to go home. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you he won't go home more than he wants to have that Cadillac. He's in a place, son, he's ready to go. Right, thank God. What you looking for? What you looking for? Man, we'll wrap it up. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. That's right, church. Covenant, boy. You're talking about people bad-mouthing Sarah. I want you to understand something. Old Dale Moore texted me dark and early this week. He said, Abraham, God give Abraham that fifth letter in the alphabet. He changed his name from Abram to Abraham. He gave him that A in his name. That's the fifth letter in the Hebrew alphabet. H-E-I. And they said, I asked a Jew how you pronounce that. They said you pronounce it like H-A-Y or H-E-Y. Hey, Abraham. I got to look in a little bit closer. Sarah got one too. She got her an H. You know what that Jewish alphabet said that H represents? Said it represents the breath of God. I say, oh, Abraham, and Sarah got it.
Amen.
I'd say they got it.
It's good.
The breath of God. Amen. That's good. They can say what they want to about her, but she probably had more breath than most of them criticizing. I'll bet you that. Amen. All right. Well, that's good, Brother McVeigh. Thank you, sir, and I look forward to more of that.
Sure do.
And,
I want to sing a song if we could.
You want to sing a song?
Yeah, it's not that other hymn. Let's see if it's in this corrupt thing here. So Zach and mine using the NIH, doesn't
it? Might be in that red book. I mean, that
right.
Brown thing.
Which other one, brother?
Might be in that case.
That one there.
There's church hymnals.
I want to sing Pearly White City. You don't know that? It's not any of them. Are you serious?
We know that song. And it might be in this right here.
It's in this one. Who's that? It's in this one.
It is, okay. I thought it was in one of them.
You don't know what it's that you said anyway. You'll be good.
You want some help passing some of them? There you go. Jacob, help me, buddy. Grab a hand and go to the other side. Pearly White City.
Okay. Does anybody know that one?
Yeah. It was fake. While he's doing that, I'll go ahead and say this. We'll let everybody know somewhere, sometime. But Stanley, I was thinking about Farmington. Farmington up there around the basketball, tennis ball. We might recall that shelter in the morning, lady. Do you still have her number? You do? Are you just saying that, or do you really have it? Huh?
All right, we'll talk. Dear brother.
And then you're going to have to leave that.
Go ahead, brother. You go.
That's work.
Okay. And then tonight, if everybody will, we can just get out of here quick. And we can fellowship there, but we'll zip out here and go up here once again to exit 170. I believe that's it. The next exit up, same old Pizza Hut. If that's okay with everybody, we can go back up here to this Pizza Hut in Mopsville. We don't know yet. Ridge Park, down at the Ruritan or Farmington, where we used to go to church somewhere. But Ridge Park, Farmington, Ruritan's taken, I think, and it was home. Taken. It, wonder how many people they wonder if we can beat them up and take their place.
You want to eat something?
No, we're going to eat there. We'll eat there. We'll cook hot dogs and hamburgers tomorrow. But tonight, we're going to go to Pizza Hut.
And then maybe
a
Bible study somewhere.
Yeah, at the little thing, we'll probably have us a little Bible study or something like a devotion or something like that. And I think Stephanie's going to teach or something, preach about my husband's
wedding.
How
does that
going
to start?
Probably about 11. Yeah. Probably about 11, and then, you know, get there, and everybody kind of just get there, and then we'll eat, and then maybe go play and puke. And we'll see if old Jim Stetcher will fix us some hot dogs.
Good.
Some of the pig hoofs and snouts and hamburgers.
Jim's going to make
them. Yeah. But tonight, up there on that exit, 170, you get off the exit, turn right, then the first street on your right, turn right, and you'll run into Pizza Hut. We'll go up there and get us some pizza tonight, and sit around, have some fellowship, and whatever. All right. Everybody got page 126? Brother McVeigh, I don't even know how to lead this song. I'll butcher it. Come on. It's your idea.
We used to have good with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to embarrass you with me.
Well, okay.
How many of y'all know this? Does anybody not know it? Well, we're going to figure it out. Me and Brother David, for my little buddy. The littlest preacher in the South.
Don't you step down there, please.
Thank you.
things that will last in the church, yep. And not get so caught up with the things that won't.